Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Much of the scandal surrounding the now former Prince Andrew has been seen as being unprecedented, but this is far from the first public scandal the British royal family has faced. Just over a century ago, Irish woman Nellie Clifton was a central figure in a controversy that almost toppled the monarchy. Those events inspired Andrew O'Connor's 2018 novel By Royal Appointment, and Andrew joins us now. Andrew, you're very welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me on the show. Great to be here.
Trying to make out what kind of a man this was, because he seems to be described very differently as he was growing up. As he was a bit of crack.
Yeah.
He was dim-witted, according to some.
Yeah, I think his mother had that opinion.
I have to say.
It was Queen Victoria.
His mother's opinions of him are very withering,
really,
aren't they?
Really bad. And actually, if you kind of compare it to this, the scandals going on in Britain at the moment, like we were talking today is the kind of a little bit with the comparisons between then and now. But there's one big difference is that Victoria, with her son, she knew his shortcomings. Whereas like the present Andrew, former prince, with his mother, Elizabeth, she seemed to not be able to be understanding those shortcomings whatsoever. So it was a very different upbringing, I think, from one, but at the same time, very similar.
So as he was growing up, the dim-witted, that's very, very damning now.
Yeah.
And part of his being dim-witted was what saw him arriving over in the Curragh, was it, when he was 19?
It is, yeah. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, it's probably a little unfair to call him dim-witted. I mean, he did go on to be a very successful king, King Edward VII, 40 years later when Victoria finally died. And he kind of modernized the monarchy and gave a new face to it. But at the same time, he was considered not to be like his father, Prince Albert, Victoria's husband, who was incredibly industrious and hardworking and you know, was always bringing industry to Britain. And he was actually very involved with the political scene. So that really wasn't Bertie.
But in the early days, he was only in his teens.
He was.
You know, it seems like a very harsh comparison even there to be like your industrious father.
Yes,
And be sent off to the Curragh. The Curragh was for kind of military training,
it was
it?
For military training. So he was sent off when he was like just barely 20, 19 going on 20 to the Curragh, and he was supposed to be there, it was supposed to mature him, but he did the very opposite because he'd actually been under very close scrutiny and careful protection in the palace. But of course, when he went off to Kildare, it was quite different from the world that he was used to. So that's when he was introduced to Nellie Clifton.
I wouldn't have imagined the Curragh was, you know, a hotbed of things to do for a young 19-year-old, but it seems like it kind of was.
It kind of was. I mean, it was like a huge employment place there for a start off. There was a huge military base there, so there was, you know, like they had lots of cricket and beer, and you know, there was a big social life around there as well, which is probably what attracted Nellie Clifton down to the area as well.
Tell us more about Nellie. She seems to be an international woman of mystery.
She is, yeah. And I mean, there's lots of stories about her, but there's rumours that she was one of the Wren women that used to hang around the Curragh, and there might be an element of truth of that too, and also that she was a musical actress in Dublin. So I'd say that the truth is between the middle, but I mean, to be honest, to be described as a musical actress in Dublin at the time, it wasn't a very complimentary thing. It wouldn't be like it would be over the last 50 years. You know, she would be considered a certain type of a
yeah, I take great offence at that, to just wade into the music world and just because you get on a stage.
This is it.
I think that's very unfair.
It is very unfair. Yeah. I suppose it was the early days of it, I suppose,
right,
at the same time.
But either way, she comes to the attention of Bertie.
She came to the attention of Bertie, and anyway, they had a brief affair, and that worked out pretty okay until his parents found out.
How
about
did they find out?
Gossip, of course. same as
even before the internet. You can't do something in the Curragh without them finding out in London.
Absolutely. And it went to kind of a funny route. It went from London to Paris to the royal courts of Europe, and then finally got back to London. So it was kind of a bit of a detour there.
Very dim view taken.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, they were furious because obviously Victoria and Albert lived their life a certain way and they had a huge expectation on their son and heir. And he was a huge disappointment to them. But I think what happened then was Albert was sent out, he came back to Cambridge, Prince Albert, and his father came to kind of straighten him out, and they went for a walk in a really bad day. His father then, Victoria's husband, Albert, he got ill 2 weeks later and died. Now, he had underlying illnesses, and I can't imagine that, you know, I don't think it's, historians believe that the walk in the rain with his son to straighten him out killed him. But I suppose the important thing was Victoria believed
that. She really believed that.
She did believe that. So she kind of blamed her son for her husband, his father's death.
She famously spends the rest of her life dressed in black.
She did.
And harbouring this grudge against her son.
She did, and she wouldn't. I mean, this is kind of interesting when you think, again, with the situation of the British royalty and Andrew. And even though, Andrew was the spare, whereas Albert was the heir.
Heir.
But at the same time, Albert had these decades then adrift where he was, he wasn't given any responsibility because his mother didn't trust him. And after the Nellie Clifton affair. So, you know, he was living a kind of decade. He was married off to Princess Alexandra of Denmark and they entered the Marlborough set, which was this kind of like...
It sounds great.
It sounds great, yeah. Decadent kind of aristocrats.
Sounds better.
Yeah. Who basically lived life by their own rules. Okay, you're sold.
Where can I join? I like this.
But unfortunately, the Marlborough set led Bert into his second big scandal. And that was when he was, a couple, another aristocratic couple who were in that, in the Marlborough set, who were friends of theirs. So Charles Mordaunt and his wife Harriet. And then Harriet was kind of probably the epitome of the Marlborough set. She was having, by her own admission, affairs with several lovers.
Right.
And one of them, she said to her husband, was actually the Prince of Wales.
Oh.
So this is like in 1870. It's a few years later. And
sorry, did she say that to her husband?
She did. Now, I think there was an element of, she did.
Wow.
But that might have been before or after. I'm not too sure. He prized open her bureau and found a lot of letters from the Prince of Wales to his wife. So it might have come out during that.
Her browsing history.
Her browsing. The letters, funny enough, were quite, you know, they weren't incriminating. They were quite, you know, they were friendly and cordial, you know, but they weren't like...
But this takes a very dark turn, doesn't it?
This does take a dark turn because the letters her husband made public. So the next thing they were in the papers. And it's very similar, again, what's going on with British royalty of this kind of, you know, things are going on for years and suddenly they become exposed. And even though the press back then, as you said, you know, 150 years before the internet, they weren't, that way. But these things got out, so it became a scandal.
And it's the similarities between Bertie and Andrew, or Edward, rather, gets strong at this point, doesn't it?
Yes, they do. Because of course, the whole thing with the scandal with Andrew was that he was going to be subpoenaed into court. And Albert, who was his great-great-grandfather, when he was Prince of Wales, he was subpoenaed in court by this woman's husband when he was divorcing her as a witness. So this was, of course, it was the first time the Prince of Wales, the heir to the throne, had been in a court to be as part of divorce proceedings. Of course, it was a massive scandal. But anyway, he showed up to court he basically spoke for 7 minutes and denied flatly that it was anything improper happened. Got a round of applause at the end of it, and the resulting of that that divorce case was that Harriet Morton was found to be suffering from psychosis by the jury. This was tried by jury, the divorce court, and she was kind of quickly carted off to a mental institution.
That's an inconvenient woman, isn't it?
That
really
is an inconvenient woman. It absolutely
that's
is
dreadful.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
the only thing,
dreadful.
Her husband's divorce case collapsed as well because all her.
But the parallels there of the woman, the victim,
sure.
being destroyed.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
phenomenal, isn't it? And, yeah. and at its heart is the monarchy, isn't it?
It is the monarchy and the aristocracy. And it's funny, in my new book, The Sins of Armstrong House, which is again about a woman who's married into an aristocratic family. Once they were in there, they're quite trapped. I mean, Harriet Mordaunt, she was never going to be a winner here in this divorce case. You know, I mean, okay, it was an extreme that she was carted off to a lunatic asylum, you know, at the end of it. And that she was found to suffer from psychosis. But the courts were stacked against any woman. First of all, to get a divorce, you needed a huge amount of money. So it was usually the aristocracy who could only avail of it. And then, like up to 1923, a husband only had to prove his wife of infidelity to allow for a divorce. But a woman had to actually, a wife had to prove not just infidelity, but a number of other things as well, like extreme cruelty or desertion or whatever like that. So,
right. Despite all that, he became a good king.
He did, yes. Yeah, he ended on a good note. I mean, he never stopped at his philandering.
Right.
And that continued. But he did, he finally got to the throne very late in life, very like King Charles.
Right. Yeah, very like.
Very like King Charles.
Despite the encouragement of his mum.
Yes.
I have a quote. She said, "Handsome, I cannot think him, with that painfully small and narrow head, those immense features and that total want of chin."
Oh, dear. That's a good one.
My mother, folks.
Yeah, she also turned around about him after, and she says, "I can't look at that boy." This was after the scandal with Neville Clifton. She said, "I can't look at that boy ever again without having a shudder after that dreadful business in the Curragh."
My God. It's such a fascinating story. It really is. Andrew, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me in.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.